Hey, good morning. I'm so glad you're here today. Don't you love the presence of the Lord?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. I didn't have a chance to say it in the first service, but let me just say, if you missed last Sunday, you missed, honestly, just one of maybe my all-time favorite days. It was so good. But you know, the same God that was here with the people from Voice of Joy, He's back. Like, He's here today, and He has something, I think, for your life. I'm glad you're here today. We're starting a new message series, and we're going to do it for 3 weeks, and I think there's something relevant for your life, and there's something relevant for all of our lives as far as I'm concerned. Have you ever felt like there was something maybe about to take place? You didn't really know what it was? Or maybe you had a hint of something, but you weren't fully informed about what it was going to be. You just didn't have all the information. And one of the things that I've observed in life is there are often times when there's, like, you sense something's going to happen, or you even can start to see it take place, but you don't know exactly what to do about it. Because sometimes we just don't have all the information. In fact, I'm convinced that some of life's greatest regrets take place because either we don't have all the information, or even if we get the information, we choose to ignore it. So many times in my life, your life, we've made decisions where somebody was calling us to tell us something and we missed the telephone call. Or maybe someone was calling us and we heard the telephone call and they gave us the information and said, you do not want to date that person. And you did it anyway. And then later on, you're like, man, I wish I would have not ignored that information. I had something that recently happened to me, and you could just pray for me about this. It was emotional. I'm convinced recently that I'm like a technological black hole in space. Like, I've always kind of considered myself a little bit techie, but some stuff's happened recently. I have two backup drives that have all my sermons on them. And so, like, literally, like, all the sermons, every year, every sermon I've preached for 22 years here at Christ Church of Orlando, on one drive that I use all the time, and then a backup drive to that. And a couple of months ago, the backup drive failed. And I was like, okay, I'll get another one, because I always have my first one, and that's good, and it's good. And I didn't get a backup to the backup of my sermons. And then two Saturday nights ago, I was getting ready for service, and I went in to look at a file, and it froze, and it wouldn't reload. So I gave it to Craig, and Craig looked at it, and he said, I think you're going to need to send this to somebody that knows what they're doing, like, that understands this. And so I decided what I was going to do is I was going to send it to the manufacturer. They made it. So I send it to the manufacturer, and then I have a friend of mine who he's a technological genius. He's really a smart man. He used to work for Lockheed, and he's worked in aerospace engineering, and so he's worked with government programming. So I called him after I'd sent it to Seagate, the name of the company that made it, and they called me back, and they said, it's non-recoverable. 22 years of sermons. And honestly, if I were to tell you, I literally cried like a child. I cried. And so I called my friend, and I was like, hey, listen, they said it's non-recoverable. And he said, I wish you would have told me before you sent it to them. I'm like, and now I know. Like, some of life's greatest regrets. Because he said, they're a manufacturing company. They're not a recovery company. They don't know how to recover your information. They just put it together, and sometimes they just bought those discs from somebody else. And so you can just pray for me that the Lord will help us, because I'm actually going to send it to a recovery company, and maybe they're going to get it. But it's that way in life. Like, sometimes there's a piece of information we wish we would have had before we made the decision. There are things that we've done, there are places we've gone, and man, I wish I would have known before I did that. Or maybe we knew, but we chose to ignore it just the same. In your life and in my life, I think that each of us desires to have our life be a part of something that's bigger than this moment. We desire to have our lives to be something that's bigger than just everyday activity of going home and loading the laundry or mowing the lawn. We want our lives to be something that counts and maybe is a part, and maybe that we're, I'm not talking about fame or wealth, but that our lives somehow play in the part of a bigger story in this world. Like we yearn for significance. We yearn for us to do something significant. That the story of our life counts for something. The interesting thing about that is I'm convinced that there is a story. There's a story that's taken place. It didn't just begin with the words in the beginning. The story began before that. It's the story of God. It's God's story, and history just begins to tell us at least a portion of the story of God. In fact, history, when it starts for us in Genesis, it just begins to tell us our involvement in the story of God. But his story began before that. And when he created the heavens and the earth, and then this story began here on earth, then the reality about that is he wrote it in so that you and I could have a part to play in his greater story. That this world and this life isn't just about us, and it's not just about what we would want to do and maybe achieving something for ourselves, but instead somehow it can bring greater significance and greater worth when it belongs to a story that is the greatest story. And yet, with that yearning in our hearts, many times what happens is we make decisions in life, and we make uninformed decisions in life, because either we don't have all the information, or we had the information and we simply chose to ignore it. That there is a story that's being written, then that means that there is a writer. And that writer is God. And God has something to say to you, and he has something to say to me. And he's actually written what he wants to say to us. He has information for our lives. And often the greatest regrets that we have in life are simply because we didn't know the information he had for our life, or we heard it and chose to ignore it. And so for the next few weeks, I'm going to take some time here, and I want to talk to you about the message from God, God's story, God's holy word. It's his story that's recorded, and our part of his story that's recorded in Scripture. And so today, I want us to take a few moments, and we're going to start today, and we're going to talk about the relevance in our life of what this means, and like the power of this word, the power of his Scripture, and the power of his story and how we can play in that. Here's what I'd like for you to do, if you would. Repeat this with me, if you would. If I could see as God sees, I would do as God says. Say it with me one more time. If I could see as God sees, I would do as God says. Now, many of us grew up around Scripture. We grew up with a Bible in our home. This happens to be my Bible, but this is not my first Bible. My first Bible was a white Bible, and it had fake leather bonded to cardboard for a cover. Anybody else have that Bible besides me? And the gold name down there in the corner, you know, it was given to me. I don't know where I got it, but that was my first Bible. And honestly, like we as children, we grew up reading the Bible. And many of us, we have Scripture. Like we have Bibles. How many of you have at least a Bible in your home? Go ahead. And there's like, yeah. How many of you have two Bibles in your home? Okay. How many of you like have five Bibles in your house? Okay. Okay, so can I just talk about this for a second? Can I say, like, the availability and the access to the message that God has for our lives is there. It's just a matter, are we at all interested in hearing what God has to say to our lives? Because I think we might make different decisions. Because if I could see as God sees, I would possibly do what God God says to do. If we would take a moment, we'd understand that the impact of Scripture, it would make us view everything differently. It would make us view marriage differently. It would make us view money or wealth differently. It would make us view marriage or parenting or poverty or work. It would cause us to view politics or sex or forgiveness or guilt or sin or time or youth or age or death. It would make us view all of those things differently, because the one who wrote the story has written it for you. He's written it for me. And so if I would take a moment and hear what he has to say, I might live my life a little bit differently. If I live my own life by my own interpretation of the things that I'm seeing and maybe the things that my mind is making up, then I can tell you right now, most likely I'm going to get it wrong. Many of us, we could say that, like, we could have avoided our greatest regrets if we would have just maybe heard what God had to say. And that's really kind of the main point of this whole series, is for us to get to open up our Bibles and maybe see the worth of it, for us to start to read and maybe somehow start to apply it into our lives. And let me just tell you, there's power in Scripture. And most people, like, we don't fully understand that this is powerful, because, see, it's the way we understand the revelation of God the Father. It's the way we understand the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the way we understand the revelation. We're informed of who they are, and not only just informed, it's not just information. There's power in knowing this. There's power for your life. And if you don't think that this is powerful, let me just tell you how I know that this is powerful, aside from the fact that it changed my life. But in the worldview, let me just say, when a dictator goes into a nation and he's going to take over a nation, do you know what he does? The first thing he does, he takes this away. Like, rank and file, hardcore sinners understand that if they can take this away from you, because let me just tell you why they want to take this away, is because this informs you about freedom. This informs you how to live. This informs you about God's plan for your life. So this is vital, and it's powerful. This is not just like some passive book. This is not just some book that some old folks wrote a bunch of years ago, and it's not relevant for us. It's still powerful, and it cannot just change your life, but it can change your destiny forever. And I think if you read it, you might be shocked about, like, you heard your Sunday school teachers talked about it. You might be shocked at some of the stuff that they said was in there really isn't. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not in there, you know? But you might also be surprised about the things that are in there that you never knew. Instructions for your life and how to live and how to manage your life. And so you owe it to yourself to do this. You owe it to yourself to find Scripture and read Scripture. And some of us, maybe we've gone to the place where in our lives, somebody convinced us that Scripture wasn't relevant. College professor, a teacher, a peer, a friend, a neighbor, a family member convinced us that Scripture wasn't relevant. That because they thought it was irrelevant, it's irrelevant. You owe it to yourself that if this possibly has the most important information, and if it even in the slightest remote possibility could be from the person who's writing the story of history, if there's a possibility that he wrote this, then you owe it to yourself to open it up and read it. And even if in the possibility you might think it doesn't take place and it's not him, let me just tell you, if you choose not to read this, then you know what you're doing? You're making maybe one of the most important decisions of your life in ignorance. On somebody else's word. You're making the decisions of your life about maybe what will affect you for eternity, but it will definitely affect your finances and your relationships, and you're doing it based on the criticism or the cynicism of someone else. Find for yourself that this is true. Okay. There are some excuses that people do, like people say, like, I don't read it because it's just too hard. Well, God forbid you ever do anything that's hard. You know, like, I mean, just don't do that. But you, let me just tell you, do you know what's hard? Making bad financial decisions. Do you know what's hard? Making bad relationship decisions. You know what's hard? Getting involved in addiction that will rule the rest of your life. You know what's hard? It's making decisions that ultimately will affect every moment, maybe all of your destiny into eternity, without being informed about truth. That's hard. It's worth a couple of minutes for you to start to understand. So somebody else might say, well, you know, I'm not sure I'll believe it. So I love that one. Not sure I believe it. Well, you read stuff all the time you don't believe. Honestly, you read stuff all the time. You know, on the internet, well, like we're scrolling down the internet and there's little pop-ups or those things that are on the column, and like we click on that and I'm like, what? Angeline and Brad, they did what? Seriously, do you really think all those stories that you read on the internet are true? No, they're not. If you think they're true, please come to me after church and we want to pray for you and like the spirit of truth to come on you or something, you know? Oh. Not everything you read is true, but you read it anyway. So honestly, like I dare you, even if you don't think scripture is true, I dare you to take a chance on it and read it. You might not have any idea the impact that it can have on your life. Today I'm going to start in one passage and I'm going to read a passage from a king. It's out of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is in the Old Testament. It's written by King David. It's the longest passage in the Bible. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And when David wrote this passage, he only had the first seven books of what we call the Bible. He only had the first seven books, and they were written hundreds of years before him. And yet, even though he didn't have what would be the rest of the Old Testament and the New Testament, it was still enough revelation of God that he would be able to guide his life on good footing. So I would like for you, if you would, turn with me to Psalm 119. I'm going to read in verse 97. Listen to what Psalmist King David says. Oh, how I love your law. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Now, this is a king. Honestly, he's got other stuff to do. Like, if you're a king, like you really have some other responsibilities. And yet, he chose that he would meditate on scripture all day long. Let me ask you a question today. What occupies your mind all day long? What occupies your thought space? It's pretty important. Here's why it's important: because what you think about and the decisions you make probably are somehow related. So the psalmist David, here he says, I think about your commandments all day long. I think about your law all day long. Verse number 98 says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies. See, God understands how things work. He understands how your enemies work. He understands that there's a force in this world that wants to take you down, and yet God has a plan for you to be victorious. So, you make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. It's scripture is ever with me. When I'm in a difficult spot, your scripture is with me. When I feel rejected, scripture is with me. When I feel like everything is against me, I know that you're for me because you've informed me through scripture that you're for me. Verse number 99, I have more insight than my teachers. I'm able to read between the lines. Education doesn't mean so much unless you're educated about God. It's an important thing for you to have insight from God. Everybody else sees the dots. You see the picture, God. So I want to see what you see, God. And so here's what he says. For I meditate on your statutes. My mind is saturated with you. Verse 100 says, for I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Like, I have more understanding and my life is safer because I obey. A lot of times in our current culture, we think that somebody needs to explain everything to us before we'll do it. Like, here's what you want to do. But David says, I'm going to obey you before I even understand it. It kind of reminds me of the relationship with a parent. Every parent probably knows this. Have you ever had one of those moments when, like, your parent, you as a parent said, come here and do this. Do what I'm telling you right now. Why? Because I'm telling you to do it right now. Like, seriously, like, often we can't see what's really taking place. How about this one? You're standing in the middle of a street and you don't really understand the laws of physics that a car will kill you. Parent, like, get out of this street. Why? Explain this to me. I want to understand the principles of physics. No, seriously, just obey because it's good for your life. It's the same way with God. Like, he understands the principles that you can't even see. So if he tells you to do something, like, just obey. That's what he says here. Verse number 101 says, I have kept my feet from every evil, every destructive path, so that I might obey your word. I've made sure this is my path. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. When you read this, listen, you're not taking a professor's word about who Jesus is. You're not taking some cynical person or some even another Christian. When you open this up, I'm absolutely convinced that he himself visits with you and informs you who he is. It's he who opens your heart. Now, it's interesting to me, many times in our time, like I spend time in devotion every morning, and I spend time in prayer and reading scripture. And a lot of times when I pray, I'm asking God to do something for me. God, will you do this? Will you fix this person? Will you help? Please. Yeah. Will you bless? Will you do? Have you ever contemplated that maybe God doesn't just want you to come to him for you, him to do something for you, but maybe he wants to say something to you? Maybe he wants to say something to you. And how about this? If God might just want to say something to you, could it be that he's already said something to you and wrote it down and it's in his word? Now, let me get specific about this for a second. Let me say, like, if you wake up in the morning and ask, Lord, which socks should I wear? Or if you wake up and, like, should I buy a Ford? Should I buy a Chevy? Unless it's a truck, they can buy a Ford. Let's see. Should I buy a Buick? Should I buy a foreign car? Which one should I do? Seriously, you're going to hear, there's not going to be a scripture in here that says buy a Ford or buy a Chevy. But let me just tell you what is going to be in here. There's going to be principles in here concerning finances. There's going to be principles in here concerning how you should spend your money, how you should save. Maybe what your life is going to be looking like and what you should buy, what you shouldn't buy in light of what God wants to do in your future. That he will inform you if you'll study his scripture. So I'm just going to read on just a little bit further. Verse number 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path because I know where those paths take me. Like, I know where the paths, like the hurts, the wounds, many times it's just simply because I've forfeited the knowledge of God. Verse number 105, and Sean, if you want to come back here. Your word is a lamp to my, somebody say it. And a light to my. If you don't know this one yet, come on, just learn it with me. Your word is a lamp to my and a light to my path. If If I don't know what direction to take, my heart is sensitized to him. My heart is open to him because I've been in his word and he speaks to me through his word and it illuminates my path. So I'm going to read, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to reflect. I'm going to read it, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to reflect. I'm going to read, I'm going to meditate on it. I'm just not trying to do speed reading the Bible. I want to read it and meditate on it, and then I want to reflect. What does this look like in my life? What does this look like in the world? As if God is speaking to me, because just could be that God is speaking to you. So I'm going to make this personal for some folks, and then I'm going to close this out here in just a few minutes. I did this a few years ago. There's a handout, and I think, let me see, that it's not in your bulletin. This is going to be for our young people, teenagers 12 through 18, teenagers 12 through 18. Let me hear for a big woohoo for the teenagers that are in church for 12 to 18. On this, there are two passages of scripture. So I'm just going to challenge you, and I'm going to incentivize it on this page, and you can get this out in the foyer. I think Justin is going to be out there after service, and so I'm going to ask every young person, every parent, or somebody to drop by and get this. There's two passages. Psalm 1, here's what Psalm 1 says. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he does meditate day and night. He is like the tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatsoever things he does will prosper. Not so with the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There's another one on here, and it's 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verses 45 through 47. There's a reason why I'm going to dwell on this for a second, because I'm going to challenge our young people to memorize one of these. I'm going to challenge them to memorize one of these. And like, honestly, like, we incentivize for our kids to do stuff all the time. Like, we give them allowances to make their own bed. We give them, so I'm going to incentivize this. If I can get our young people to do this on November the 3rd, two Sundays from today, whichever teenagers, as many of them will, memorize one of these complete passages and come to church and recite it to me. On that day, for every young person that does this, I'm going to give them, out of my personal bank account, I'm going to give every one of them $20. In the first service, somebody yelled out of the crowd, "How about us?" Yeah, I'm like, no. Pay yourself. Come on. But let me tell you this. I'm going to read this passage. I'm going to tell you, happened to be unusual today because I'm doing this again today. I did this 9 years ago. And Fresh Start. Fresh Start is a addiction recovery center that attends our church about once a month. And they were in the first service. And they were here 9 years ago on a Sunday. I asked these two same scriptures to be memorized by our young people. And most of the guys in Fresh Start are older men, and many of them have some history of making some pretty bad decisions. But there was a young man there who, the youngest person they'd ever allowed to come into Fresh Start. I'm sorry. And they allowed him to come into Fresh Start. And I'm convinced that the Lord allowed him to come into Fresh Start so his life could not just get changed there, but he could be loved by our church. His name was Jimmy Hughes. And so they didn't tell me anything about it, but Jimmy memorized this passage. And on the day that we were having them come up, like, I'd given out some $20 bills, and let me just tell you, this really did happen. Jimmy, they were in the over in the sanctuary, and all the guys in Fresh Start started going, "Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy." And so finally, I'm like, "What's going on?" They're like, "Jimmy, he's 18." And so he came up on stage, and he did this passage. And it was so relevant because it had to do with a giant he was facing. And when he got done, let me just tell you, literally people started coming out of your seats. Some of you might be remember the day if you were here. People, I was going to give him $20. People started coming out of their seats and came down, and people, multiple people handed him $20 because he had been weaponized with the word of God, with power for his future. And here's the passage. David standing before Goliath. "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all into our hands." There's somebody here that you need that scripture, that when the enemy comes to you and tells you that you're defeated and there's a giant that's going to take you down, you need to be able to say, "I'm coming to you with the word of the Lord, and God's going to give you to me. I'll have the victory." Amen. Becomes personal when you start to read scripture and know scripture. I'm going to just give you a few thoughts and then I'm going to close. Scripture provides us three things. It empowers us to do what God wants us to do, because we see God's words, we see his thoughts, and we know his deeds. We begin to understand his heart to us, that his heart is that he loves us and that he wants us to be a part of the plan that he has, not just for this world, but for us. There's a plan for your life as a parent. There's a plan for singles in this room, the way God wants you to live, so that you enter into your future empowered for your future, for our young people, for newlyweds who are making decisions and now you're about to embark and you're starting families. Let me just tell you, there are so many things that God wants to guide you in, so we get to see his words and his thoughts and his deeds. I'm going to read out of Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. You owe it to yourself to read this because it is powerful. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." It's powerful. It doesn't mess around. It gets right to the heart of it. Like we keep telling everybody, this is the issue, this is the issue. And the word of God comes in and says, no, you can fool everybody else, but that's the issue. It gets right to the truth of it, and it instructs us in a powerful fashion so that we can live the life that glorifies God and brings fulfillment to us. Four things I'm going to give you, and you can write these down. When I ignore the word of God, I tend to magnify the weaknesses of other people and overlook my own. When I ignore the word of God, I tend to magnify other people's weaknesses and I overlook my own. When I start to see myself in the word of God, I'm like, I don't have time to honestly fix you so much. I got to spend my time letting God fix me. Here's the second thing. If I ignore the word of God, I tend to evaluate all I see as though that's all there is. That like this temporary trouble, this problem I'm going through, honestly, the flash drives, the issues that I'm facing today or you're facing today, like we get so myopic, like this is my whole life and my whole world, and yet there is not just this little inch of it, but there's a whole bunch, and then there's eternity, and we get so myopic and we think that it's just so about this moment. And let me just tell you, God makes me see it differently. I tend to evaluate all I see as all there is if I ignore God's word. Here's the third one. I tend to close my hands on my possessions. First of all, it's as though they're mine, as opposed to they're God's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I tend to think of my possessions as mine. And when I start to hear God's word, I open my hands and I'm generous to other people, and I'm generous to his house, and I'm generous with my time and my life and all that I have. And here's the last one. When I ignore God's word, I hold on to anger far too long. When I ignore God's word, I hold on to bitterness and I hold on to hurts and I hold on to grief and I hold on to accusations and I go over the conversations in my head. When I ignore God's word, I hold on to that stuff way too long. And I'm like, you owe me and I'm not going to forgive you and I'll forgive you and I'll tell you. And like, I go over that stuff. But how about if I could see as God sees, then I would do what God wants me to do. If I could see that God forgives, then maybe I should do the same thing for someone else. And so today, I'm going to challenge you. Over the next few weeks, will you pray? I'm going to give you some practical stuff, and then we're going to sing and pray. And at the bottom of the insert, I put 5 days of devotions. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I guess that's five. See, I'm smart. All right, here we go. Monday, Psalm 1. Just read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinner. Go in and read it on Monday. Go in and read this like I'm going to meditate on the law of the Lord. I'm going to saturate. Let it saturate over me. There's 4 more days after that. Will you do that? And I'm going to ask that the Lord in these next few days will just open up your heart and your mind, and you'll be passionate about what He wants to say to you. You'll be passionate about His word and what He wants us to do in the light of the storyline that He's writing in this world, in your life and my life. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, I love You. I thank You, God, for this day. I thank You for Your blessings. I thank You, Lord, for bringing us here. And I thank You, dear Lord, that You've given us Your word. And now, Lord, I ask You that You would allow us to have a passion to receive Your word, to hear from You. Lord, in these days ahead, speak to us as we read Scripture, as we pray, as we meditate. Help us to read, to meditate, to reflect as we learn of You, Lord. Amen. Will you stand together with me?